Week and last week, we've been thinking a little bit about his blessing on Titus. He began his letter to Titus with that statement that said, "Grace and peace be from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior." And we tried to make the point last week, particularly, that the church needs grace. We desperately need grace if we're going to carry out the ministry that God would have us carry out. And we need peace, which flows out of grace. And whereas without that, there is all kinds of trouble in the church. The grace of God keeps us from divisions and disunities and strife and grumbling and backbiting and envy and resentment, and you can go on and on. But God has guaranteed this blessing upon his people of grace and mercy and peace. It's wonderful to have our services begin with that every Lord's Day, to be reminded that his commitment to us is that. And to end our services every Lord's Day with the benediction, which is a promise of God's grace and his mercy and his love and his communion with us by his Spirit. So those are great comforting things. But I have a question, and that is, how is it that we have guarantee of reception of these things? How is it that we have guarantee that God will bless me with his grace and bless you with his grace? What assures you and me that we will be recipients of grace? I mean, why may I have confidence that in the time of need that I have, grace will be applied by my Lord and my Savior? I think we'll find the answer today in Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 12. So if you turn with me in your Bible to Romans 5, beginning at verse 12, and then I'll read through the end of that chapter. Very, very rich portion of Scripture. Listen carefully to what God says. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was the type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to the condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." How do I know that I'll be a recipient of this grace that God promises? Three simple points to think as we prepare for the Lord's celebration, the celebration of the Lord's Supper here in just a moment. I want us to just meditate on three little thoughts about this. First is a reality that we all know all too well because of our own experience. And that is that as Christians, we know that we need a Savior. That's something not everyone knows. But God has opened our eyes by his Holy Spirit to understand the reality of our own sinfulness, our own corruption, our own need for a Savior. Prior to Christ's gracious rescue of us, death reigned. That's what the Scripture says here. It reigned. Death was in charge. It was reigning in us because of our sin. And not only our own sin, but also that sinful nature that we inherited through Adam. That's expressed by Paul in verse 5. "Sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." Our hearts were radically corrupted. And ever afterwards, after Adam's descendants lived out that nature of their sin that they inherited from him. They live it out. They're producing what is the fruit of their nature. We became, at that point, sinners by our identity because death reigned. It was tragically true that because of one man's trespass, death reigned. It had the crown on. It was the Lord, if you will. Sin and death were in control. It didn't matter what we wanted in our will. Maybe we wanted to be a better people. That doesn't matter. It didn't matter that we might have wished we didn't desire the things that harm us or choose the things that destroy us. That matters not. We still did it because that's what our nature was. It's a little bit like a child wishing he can fly. That desire might have been there, but the nature to carry it out is not. He can't do it because his nature won't allow it. You see, death reigned. It's in charge. It controls what flows out of us at that point. Our will is trapped by its nature. And our will becomes corrupted as well. Sin reigns, and because the wages of sin is death, then death reigns. It pervaded the earth. All things decay. All things decline and wither and rust and dissolve and degenerate and dwindle and fail and weaken and die. Death reigns. How contrary to God's good design is what sin introduced to the world. Had things remained in that state, Satan would have been successful. He would have won. He would have accomplished his greatest desire, which is to destroy and annihilate all that is good in what God has made. That's his goal. And we would have remained in the grip of death without strength, without capacity to alter our destiny, which has been, would be, of course, darkness and corruption and alienation and separation from God for all eternity. Death would reign and would always reign. But thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Psalm 73 states it so well in verse 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I would be in that state. I would still have death reigning in my life if it not had been for my God, my rescuer, my Savior. And in each of those second services that we have every Lord's Day or every once a month, we're trying to meditate on the cross. We're trying to understand the significance of what Jesus did for us at the cross. And Romans 5 tells us that Jesus broke the power of sin so that sin and death would no longer reign. They wouldn't be in charge anymore, but rather grace would reign through righteousness. And that's a remarkable good piece of news for us today, that because of what Jesus did on the cross, grace now reigns in the life of a believer through righteousness. And this meditation today focuses in on really one verse, verse 17, although it's reflected in a couple other verses as well. But verse 17 says, "For if because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man's sin, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." It's a remarkable truth to this day that you may reign in Christ. We reign in life through Jesus Christ. One of the things Jesus accomplished on the cross was the granting to the elect of two things. Abundant grace is mentioned, and the free gift of righteousness. Abundant grace. How do I know I will receive grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ? How do I have that assurance that when I'm blessed at the end of a service, that really it can be mine? It's because he has chosen to grant me this, and he did this on the cross. If we were wondering if we would be recipients of this grace, the verse clears it up. God, Christ granted grace and righteousness abundantly and did it so for us. He conquered death, and in doing so, he robbed it of its crown, the position of authority and rule over us. So remarkably, then we are said to reign. We are said to reign. Not death anymore. We are. Not sin, not death, but us. Something radical has happened, and it happened on the cross. Because in that sacrifice of Christ, the nature of the elect believer has been changed. That little boy that I mentioned who wanted to fly has suddenly been given wings. As we have wills that desire to do what is right, we've been given a new ability. We've been given the nature by which we could do it. He now has the ability to do what he could not do by nature before. We did not reign by our strength. We don't, even this day, reign by our strength, but only through Christ. And then verse 18 tells us this reigning rests upon the righteous act of Christ. As one trespass led to the condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. What's the one act that's being referred to here? What is it that Jesus did? I believe he's referring to the act of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, which was in that moment, if you will, when the transaction or purchasing of our justification actually takes place. Just as a customer can go into a store and be in the store for quite a while and be looking at the various items he might purchase and actually pick them up off the shelf and be carrying them around. And yet it's not until they get to the cashier and they pull out the wallet and pay the payment that actually the transaction has taken place. That's the same thing that we're talking about here. In the same way, Christ's whole life on the earth was part of our justification, right? He was living out a life of righteousness and doing so without any sin. But having done that, it's not until his death on the cross that righteousness is actually imputed to the sinner. It's not until he died that our debt is paid. So his life of righteousness was then applied to those who's with faith by the imputation of his death. How do I know that I'm going to receive grace? It's because he imputed to me righteousness in abundance at his death. Our receipt of grace yields to us the controls, once again, of our new wills. Our ability to walk obediently and thus to reign over sin and death is entirely dependent upon Christ's righteousness, which was graciously given to us. And so it is that as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous. Not only are we dependent on grace, we are guaranteed receipt of it. Because he came and he lived and he died for us. He sits on the throne of heaven right now. The throne over the universe, seeing to it that his elect receive what he promised them, what he came to give them, which was grace and mercy and peace from our God and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. Where sin increased, grace abounds all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Such is the love of God that you're reminded of in the Lord's Supper. That death which accomplished for us our justification, which makes us inheritors of eternal life, which pours out grace upon grace that we might live in righteousness for him. We thanks be to God for these things. Let's remember these as we go to celebrate the Lord's Supper together.